Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Listen, if I'm confused, I can tell you that you're probably confused. I've got no idea, honestly, and I do this every day. But I don't really understand where we are at in terms of the relationship between Israel from a diplomatic perspective and South Africa. So we wanted to understand where we're at, what is happening in South Africa, what some of the concerns are, and where do we go from here? Well, joining us is Ariel Seidman. He is a senior Israeli diplomat. He's deputy chief of mission in South Africa. And of course, with tensions high, channels maybe open or not, we wanted to understand the state of Israel-South Africa relations. What are the pressure points? What are the practical cooperations? And maybe how we can reset that. Is that even possible? Well, a very good morning to you. It's quite ambitious, all of these things that I have mentioned. Hope you well. What is the, where are we in terms of this relationship?
Good morning, Howard. Do we have 3 hours, 4 hours?
Yeah, I know. It's a big topic.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the relations between Israel and South Africa have been very strained. It goes a while back. Mm. I think South Africa recalled their ambassador in 2018 from Tel Aviv, and our ambassador left here last year. And of course, since the latest operation, since the latest war following the October 7 attack, the relations have been much more strained, especially with the ICJ case and other issues and statements. You know, I going to the end of your question, hopefully things changing now in the Middle East, you know, the peace process that's being promoted with President Trump and the regional leaders. And hopefully this peace process will be a change in the Middle East. It's not only Israel and Gaza, of course, Israel Palestinians, Israel Hamas. So I'm hoping this will allow us to kind of restart the relationship and move on to the other things that we have in common. You know, there are a lot of other topics that we can deal with. At the end of the day, South Africa and Israel are both countries that are based on the same values. Democratic countries with liberal values, freedom of speech, freedom of, I'm assuming we're going to talk about freedom of speech, but, sure, you know, freedom of religion, et cetera, et cetera. And we should be dealing with these common issues and not what we are dealing with at the moment.
The other factor that I think is quite significant here, maybe different to other places, is that there is quite a chasm, quite a big difference between the ANC government and their DIRCO and the people on the streets in South Africa. We aren't seeing the level of anti-Semitism, thankfully, that others have seen around the world. We're not seeing in marches in Cape Town. There's the odd incident, but it doesn't have the same vitriol as other countries. Does that impact ultimately on the way in which this relationship is going to be managed and the future of the relationship?
Well, I completely agree with you. My feeling for my short time here, but this is also based on research, is that most people in South Africa have a very positive feeling or positive sentiment towards Israel. You know, there's a PUI report that comes out in Washington every year, where they test or they ask the public sentiment towards Israel in different countries of the world. And South Africa was in the top 10 positive.
This is 2024. That is fascinating because if you would look at DIRCO and you look at government, you would think that the opposite is true.
Yeah, I completely agree. I mean, South Africa is mostly a Christian country and people have a very deep religious connection to Israel on one hand. On the other hand, as I said before, people, I think, understand the values that Israel holds, the idea of what Israel is. And as I mentioned, Israel and South Africa, at least on paper, are based on the same values. And I think most people in South Africa see that. You mentioned there's no, but very little anti-Semitism, definitely compared to Western countries. And I could say that so far, everywhere I've gone, every person I've met, everybody seemed to be very positive towards Israel, if they involved. I mean, for most people, Israel is a far country and, not so much relevant to their life in South Africa. We had last Friday, we had an event in a church in Johannesburg to commemorate October 7th. And it's 1,000-seater. The church was full.
Amazing.
People were there, they were singing, they were praying, they were showing support. Of course, this is not the first event that, people are showing support towards Israel. And it was beautiful to watch. I mean, people really, really, really feel that Israel is a good concept. It's more than a country, it's a concept, and it's a good one.
And it's part of religious belief. It's a Judeo-Christian environment
Definitely.
where Israel forms part of that. In terms of the relationship with Durko, with the ANC, certainly we've called them out. I've called them out repeatedly. Immediately following October 7th, there was an absolute horrific response. From the ANC, there was that very embarrassing public phone call that became public, even though they initially denied it, between Naledi Pandor, the then minister, and Hamas. Very embarrassing. We've had a very one-sided view, almost scripted by somebody who's very invested, whoever that might be, in the Hamas side of this conflict. Then there's been the challenge of the relationship between the United States. Has there been any improvement following, I would say, that low point or those low points to where we are at the moment?
No, I don't think so. I think it's probably less an issue than it was at the beginning of the war. Of course, when the war, and it's true for most countries in the world, when the war broke out, people were more invested in it,
Sure.
like any topic, any
Of
news.
course. Yeah.
And now maybe less invested, but the ICJ case is still going on, is still continuing. Most statements issued by the government, by Durko, are still, at least in our view, very pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas. And I, I actually want to very correct and be very careful about what I'm saying. It's not pro-Palestinian.
Well, that's I was just going to I was going to challenge you on that. And I
Yes.
use Hamas, not Palestinian, because Hamas is not good for the Palestinians. We know that. We probably are more pro-Palestinian than the South African government is, because we don't support the Hamas narrative.
I completely agree, and I think that anybody who cares about the Palestinians, anybody who wants the Palestinians to have a good life, free life, some freedoms, all the freedoms that we started talking about, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom, sexual orientation, et cetera, cannot support Hamas. So when Israel gets criticized, that could be fine. Of course, people have the right to criticize in Israel, and then they might be right, they might be wrong, we could disagree. But if you're supporting Hamas at the same time, then this is way out of control and this is unacceptable. There is no way to support Hamas under li democratic liberal values. And I think that is what's been happening not only in South Africa, in many countries. And I think there's a lot of confusion. I think there's a lot of ignorance. I think a lot of people do not understand the conflict. They do not even understand what they're standing for or not standing for. There is a campaign which is very well organized, very well funded, against Israel.
Sure.
And I think most people who support Hamas, I mean, I don't want to use the word useful idiots, but they are people who are not very well versed in the conflict, and they're being used by someone who has an agenda.
So I spent so much time trying to figure this one out, and I can tell you I haven't got to an answer. I don't know who's a useful idiot and who's just an evil idiot. Because there really are, there have to be useful, I mean, there are useful idiots, but I do somehow find it confusing. And in a way, maybe we shouldn't use that term, because it gives them no agency, and it kind of excuses their behavior, which we actually shouldn't do. People should be responsible for making sure that they are informed. It is difficult. because we have a media that is very anti-Israel. It means people are misinformed. The media, as I said, is very polarized. What is the embassy's role, if any, in this space?
So, I mean, I'll go back before I answer the question. I'll say first of all, I don't say, you said useful idiots and evil idiots. Mm. So I'll say the evil ones are not idiots.
Okay.
They're very, very
fair
smart.
Fair enough.
Very smart campaign.
Yes, fine.
You know,
accepted.
Attacking Israel in South Africa using the terminology that resonates with
of course, of apartheid. Sure.
My problem here, I would say, is with the media a lot more than with the average person on the street, because this is a complex issue. It's a very complex issue. And the average person on the street does not have the knowledge, does not have the capacity. You know, you don't start getting involved or deeply interested or researched in any topic in the world. And you trust media or government agencies, et cetera, for most of your information,
right,
unless if it's a topic you're really interested in. And this is where the media, I think, failed bigly. I'm using the word failed as a gentle term, by putting out a narrative which is very one-sided, very unfair,
sure,
very not true.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is put widely in many topics. You know, they've been accepting statements coming out of Hamas, or what they would call the Health Ministry of Gaza, which we know is run by Hamas, as, you know, it's just a fact. And any statement coming out from Israel or the IDF is always scrutinized and questioned. Is it true? Is it fake? Where throughout the war, nobody has been able to show that the IDF ever issued a statement that was not true. And if it was, it was immediately corrected.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Hamas statements time after time after time turned out to be false, and yet they still kept being repeated.
Right.
The same thing goes for the international agencies. They're using numbers, they're using facts, they're using information coming out of Hamas media or Hamas ministries. And then this is what the world sees. So the person on the street, the average person on the street, this is the information he gets. It's, you know, like you said, making it easy for them. But on the other hand, where are they going to get their information?
Mm, mm.
This is media's responsibility. Media's responsibility is to criticize governments, of course, to look into things, to go do deep research. And in complex issues, to explain it in a more complex way.
Yeah.
It's not a matter of pro-Israel, pro-Hamas. It's just understanding
just facts.
The conflict.
Well, an example of that, and I had this argument with an editor of one of the major publications here, where I said, you can't not cover Hezbollah firing rockets on northern Israel for years and only cover when Israel retaliates, because it's flagrantly dishonest, because you're not giving your readers the information that you need to.
You know, when I studied, I did a master's in international law. And
right.
There's a course over there about the history of international law. And one of the main rules when you study history is, where does the history start?
Yes,
because
exactly.
And when you look at the ICJ report that came out this week, they're starting from 8th of October. Right? They barely mention the 7th of October,
yeah,
and then they go on to
Israel's
responsibility.
As though,
of course, if that's where you start history,
yes,
that's what the story that you'll see.
Ariel, I'm going to put you on hold for a moment. We need to go to ads. We're going to come back to you in just a moment. If you have any questions for Ariel, please send them 061-895-1019. We're speaking with Ariel Seidman. He's a senior Israeli diplomat. He's the deputy chief of a mission in South Africa.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We are chatting to Ariel Seidman. He's a senior Israeli diplomat and deputy chief of a mission in South Africa, talking about the fact that there are tensions. Tensions are high between Israel and South Africa on a diplomatic level. We know that that is not necessarily reflected in the ground. It certainly looks like it's reflected on my Twitter feed, but that is something different, I guess that might be my own problem. So I guess the question is there. There's the fact that South Africa could have played a role in this peace process is probably the biggest disappointment of the whole thing, because South Africa was, it could have been placed in a position to assist. The fact is that they weren't invited, even invited to Egypt, to be part of the summit and of the way forward. What does that suggest to you?
Well, you know, we've been saying this from day one. If you believe in dialogue and you believe in conversation, you have to hold a dialogue and you have to hold a conversation. If you do not hold a dialogue, you make up your opinion, state it very boldly, and keep to that opinion with no dialogue, then you can't affect the outcome in any way. So we've been saying from the beginning that if South Africa wants to be part of the process, if they want to have influence, if they want to have an impact on the process, on the Palestinian lives, they have to engage in dialogue. And at the moment, that is not happening.
Which is a pity. The other question, of course, is there's many aspects to a relationship. Some of it is diplomatic, and then there are other constructive spaces in civil society, in commerce. How has that been impacted, and how do we look at those spaces to improve and further the relationship between the countries?
So definitely one of the missions of the embassy, the goals of the embassy, is to connect to the people on the ground. And we've been engaging with different leaders. It could be religious leaders, municipality leaders, kings, tribal kings, etc. And you know, we are doing all that we can to reach out to the people, to hear what the people have to say. And like I said before, we are all for dialogue. And if you have criticism against Israel in general, or a certain operation or something specific, I want to hear it. I want to hear what people have to say. I want to answer. Maybe I don't have an answer. Maybe I'll say to them, you know what? I don't actually have a good answer, and that's okay. But the conversation has to be based on facts. The conversation has to be a real conversation, not just shouting and yelling and, you know, marching. It cannot be what's considered hate speech. You know, we all saw the demonstration that happened behind, outside the Holocaust Museum yesterday.
Yeah.
Was it yesterday or 2 days ago in Johannesburg?
Yesterday.
I don't know if you saw, there was a poster that said, what was it? One Zionist, one bullet, I think was the poster.
I didn't see that. Wow.
Yeah, it went viral on Twitter. I saw it, on X. And of course, this is not a conversation. So these are not people I'm going to talk to. But anyone who wants to have a real conversation, who wants to raise concerns, who wants to criticize, who wants to ask questions, we are out there and we are meeting people and we're having conversations. I cannot say that every person I met came out pro-Israel, but I hope to say that every person I met came out understanding.
With a better understanding.
It's a lot more complex than what it sees on media.
The problem is, and certainly it's been my own experience, is in fact there is no desire in many parts for dialogue, and in fact the voices that represent an alternative view of Israel are actually silenced, because I do think there's some fear about having these conversations, which obviously is a very significant concern as Jews or Israel supporters their voices are minimized.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's a very, very, very small minority in South Africa, which is very loud and is hijacking the conversation. As we said before, the majority of South Africa probably doesn't care much about a conflict happening so far away, which has no effect on their lives.
And nor should they, yeah.
Yeah, should they? I mean, you don't really care much about a conflict happening in Myanmar. It doesn't affect you in any way, and it shouldn't. The ones who do, and the ones who care the most, are the ones that you are speaking about, which are very hostile, very anti-Israel. They're not holding a dialogue. This is not, you know, the posters, the saying, the chanting, this is not freedom of speech. I mean, this is pure incitement and hate speech against Israel. And they are hijacking the conversation. And there is a group of people who feel differently, but they're not strongly enough maybe to stand up and argue and fight and have that conversation. So like I said at the beginning, I think it's a very, very small minority in South Africa which is hijacking the whole conversation, and it's a pity.
So looking at a final question, looking at the best case scenario, a year ahead from now, what would you like to see in terms of the South Africa relationship with South Africa? Stable, professional, respect. What would you hope for?
So is this an assessment or is this a wishful thinking?
A wishful thinking. Well, and okay, no, let's start with the assessment, then we'll do a wishful thinking.
No, I actually like the wishful thinking because the assessment is hard to make.
Right.
I think it depends a lot on what's going to happen in the Middle East with the peace process. My wishful thinking, and this has nothing to do with South Africa, I mean, this is my wishful thinking as an Israeli and as a parent who has kids who would go to the army one day. I really hope this peace process, which is complicated and not 100% clear, and you know, the stages are not exactly clear, but I really hope this goes forward and more countries in the region join the Abraham Accords to make the Middle East a more stable, more prosperous, more peaceful region. I really hope the Palestinians can have a very good life. And again, I don't know what it's going to look like, you know, what kind of autonomy state, et cetera, they're going to have. And the peace process does not go into this at the moment. But they definitely, in any scenario, they have a better life than living under Hamas rule. If we're able to root Hamas out. So I really hope that if that happens and the Middle East becomes a whole different region and the countries in the Middle East are involved in peace and not in war, then South Africa will lose that appetite as well. And then we can start working on things because, you know, Israel has so much to offer, whether it's agriculture and water and technologies and renewable energy, stuff that Israel does so well. And South Africa, I mean, with the big agriculture, you know, all the lands over here and stuff that Israel doesn't have, and we can work so well together and do so much good together. And then I hope we'll start moving towards there.
Absolutely right, and I hope so as well. Ariel Seidman is a senior Israeli diplomat, deputy chief of mission in South Africa. He was joining us this morning.